Welcome to the Creative Empire Podcast. Each week, Raina Pomeroy, the life and biz success coach, and Christina Scalera, the attorney for creatives, are taking you up close and personal with successful influencers in the creative community and tackling your biggest business hurdles. Their mission is to help you, creative entrepreneurs, think beyond your daily biz so you can make the brave decisions that build your creative empire.
Me llamo Kristen. That's Espanol for my name is Kristen. Not too long ago, our guest, Kristen Brown, was love at first wipeout after her first lesson in New York City. And within a year of that lesson, she retired from the hustle and bustle of that busy town for no other than Costa Rica. I am so excited to have Kristen Brown on the show with Raina and I today because this is a gal who has gone from humble roots as a photographer in the United States and created a dual coast living. And that's not on each side of America. It's Savannah, Georgia and Costa Rica. This is incredible, Kristen, to have you here today. I love that we can find you on most days surfing the beautiful Costa Rican waves, or as you are best known, photographing those breathtaking sunsets that you have down there. Also, guys, before we end this intro, I have to tell you, her Chihuahua Gidget is swoon worthy. You have to go check out Kristen on Instagram and get all the down low and all the cute pictures of Gidget on Instagram, because this is a Chihuahua you do not want to miss out on. Welcome to the show, Kristen.
Oh my gosh, you girls have me laughing. Hey, Raina and Christine. Yes, Gidget likes to steal the show most days. I try not to let it be all about her.
She is so cute. I've had the honor of meeting Gidget in person, and guys, she wears legit sweaters. Like, she has a better clothing lineup than I do.
Well, she only wears her sweaters in the U.S. because when it's cold out, but in Costa Rica, she likes to go out in like the 95 degree heat and sunbathe herself, which is crazy.
But yeah, I love it. So, so you were living in New York City, you know, you're like caught up in the stress of life. How did you get to Costa Rica?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So it was almost 7 years ago, but I took a surf lesson in Queens right outside, well, in the city, but one of the boroughs of the city. It was love at first wipeout, as you mentioned. And I went to Costa Rica 6 months later and I was just enamored, came back 3 months within that first trip. And I was sitting on my surfboard and something just said to me, I had to be in Costa Rica. I didn't know why really at that point. So within a year of that first trip, surf trip to Costa Rica, I had quit my New York City corporate banking job, packed up my whole New York City apartment, moved it all to my parents' house. Thanks, mom and dad. And hopped on a plane to Costa Rica. And that it was almost 6 years ago. So yeah.
That is so cool. I mean, it's really brave to go from I'm in the hustle and bustle of New York to I'm going to take a chill and just to take this trip. And then how did you go from this trip to, you know, splitting your time between, was it Savannah and Costa Rica?
Yes.
How did that happen?
Yeah. So when I first came to Costa Rica, I pretty much first couple of years, I spent the majority of my time here. And pretty much every time I got on a plane to go back to the U.S., I'd be like, I don't want to leave. Like, even just to go back and see my family and friends for like a week or 2 weeks, like, I didn't want to leave. But then there gets this little turning point where certain things, you know, especially when it doesn't rain for 6 months, I'm here during our dry season, or just little things about living in a tiny little beach town that, you know, as I like to say, you know, at least for me, any place that I've ever lived, there's always been pluses and minuses. So I would say kind of like halfway into living here, I started to split time. When I say split time, I spend like 60-70% of my year in Costa Rica and then the rest back in Savannah, Georgia, and just also traveling around the U.S., visiting family and friends. So it was more so out of need of like, I really started to miss a lot of things about the U.S., just like easy conveniences that we take for granted as Americans. So that's kind of was one of the main reasons. And then also photography wise, that's also when my photography business started. So we have a high and low season here, but 75% of our year is, you know, you pretty much I can photograph and have clients. And then there's pretty much like 25% of the year is like a really, really low season, which to me was a great excuse of like, hey, like if it's super low season and I don't have as many clients, I might as well go back to the US, really see my family and friends. And also when I'm back, which is the fall time in the US, it's a great time to work with families. I love to photograph a lot of things, but I photograph a lot of family photos and weddings. So the fall time in Savannah, Georgia is perfect time to shoot or to photograph family photos.
How hard is it to find clients when this is really like a destination level photography thing? Like, do you have repeat clients? Because I feel like that's what a lot of photographers rely on.
Yeah.
And here you are, you're in a destination. People are there on vacation, but it's not where they live. So there's no guarantee that they're going to be there. So how are you finding these clients?
Yeah. So as I like to say, Google is my best friend and Google organic search is my best friend. Surprisingly, I mean, I was just so, so, you know, doughy eyed when I first started out, but I built my website. Goodness, I can't go back and look at that, but my website has gone through many iterations, but just by learning basic SEO and playing by Google's rules, which are pretty simple, I'm on the first page of Google search results. So that's 95 to 99% of my business here in Costa Rica is by someone, you know, searching Tamarindo Costa Rica photographer, Costa Rica wedding photographer. Then also Pinterest is one of my big, Pinterest is a search engine. So I get a lot of referrals, especially from brides that are looking for a wedding photographer. And then referral-wise, the nice part, you know, at first, when I first started out here, I was like, you know, it's great. I'm getting all this great traffic from Google, which, you know, contrary to the US, a lot of photographers in the US, there are referral, you know, you get business by referrals, whereas it's hard to get on the first page of Google when you first start out. Well, here in Costa Rica, it was easier for me to be on the first page of Google pretty much within a couple months of me launching my website. But over the past 3 years, I've had a lot of clients that come back year after year, or they have a lot of friends or family that come to Costa Rica and they're like, you have to photograph with Kristen. We love her. You're going to love your family photos. Or just even the same thing with weddings. You know, one bride has a destination wedding, another one wants to have a destination wedding. So even last night, I did a little session for clients that I photographed last year who their family members, I first started out photographing their session, their maternity session like 3 years ago. So there is a little bit of referral going on. It's not as much as the US though.
I feel like once you find a really great photographer though, I would like travel to go to see them.
Yes.
So yeah. I think you're like creating a specific niche for the kind of content that you're creating. Yeah. So for people who are not staring at your Instagram right now, what are the things that you have visually on your portfolio?
I am known, or I like to call myself, I'm a sunset chaser. I love sunsets, and the sunsets here in Costa Rica are just breathtaking. They're magical. And that's how I started out with photography, or tricked myself into becoming a photographer as a profession. So you'll see a lot of sunsets, a lot of palm trees. You'll occasionally see Gidget when I allow her on. And you'll see a lot of all my clients. I'm a lifestyle photographer. I love photographing my clients. Granted, you know, they're at the beach and they're in their really nice, you know, beach dress or dressed up, but I love photographing them at the beach, just having a great time. So very lifestyle, very natural. So yeah, so palm trees, sunsets, Gidget, and then my clients just having one heck of a good time on vacation.
You have a really beautiful photography style. I just want to establish that because
thank you.
It's very unique and I don't know how to like classify it because it's not this like very blown out white style that was really popular really up until like last year. And it's also not this like deep, moody, kind of like authentic love mag, like very shadowy style either. But it's also not this like realistic. I don't know how to describe it. It's just like, it's like your life. Or I've been the subject of her photography. I've been fortunate in that way. It's like my life, but just softer and warmer and more inviting. I don't know how else to describe it. But yeah, you have a really great photography style. So it doesn't surprise me at all that you've been able to harness the power of these different avenues combined with your talent and create a thriving business in two countries, an international photography business.
Thank you.
What are some of like the, like, did you ever have any moments where you were like, is this going to make it? Like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself? And, you know, I don't know if I can go back to Costa Rica anymore.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I did. Especially when it was really when I was just starting my photography business. So I came to Costa Rica and I came, it wasn't just, you know, I quit my job and I was like, I'm going to Costa Rica to surf. I came down here to surf, but I also was working for a surfboard shaper. He was in the movie The Endless Summer, which is a surf movie classic. If anyone loves surfing out there, also you just know the term Endless Summer. So I was working for him for a couple, for like my first 2 years. And then after that, or during that time, is when I started to photograph sunsets, but I really wasn't making any money with him. It was just, you know, an exchange of room and board. And I was like, okay, Kristen, you got to figure out what you wanted, what you want to do, because working for him, yeah, this is a great experience, but you know, I also come from, you know, a banking background. I was undergrad business degree, went to a great school. So at that point was a little bit of a turning point of trying to figuring out what I wanted to do. And photography for me had always been in front of my face. I just never wanted to accept it. Yeah. So, you know, that turning point for sure. There's also been other times where it's like, you know, it's hard living here. The town I live in, Tamarindo, Costa Rica, it's a very touristy and beach town. A lot of people are always coming and going. And I think there was this one time I just got off the plane coming back from the US, just got back to Tamarindo, the town I live in. And I had this like aha moment where I was like, I'm here in Costa Rica because I love to surf. So the waves here are, you know, are super consistent. The sunsets are really awesome. And I can also have a photography business here and work with really awesome clients. And when I kind of said to myself, I can live here because I have these really, really, these really awesome things that I really appreciate, then I kind of flipped the switch around versus, it's positive versus negative thinking. So when I said, I'm really thankful for these things because I can have them here. And on top of that, by also spending more time back in the US, I kind of was really realizing, well, I can't get as consistent surf in the US as I can in Costa Rica. I can't, you know, the sunsets, you know, they're beautiful in Savannah, Georgia, and they're beautiful pretty much, you know, around the world, but they're not as... There's just something special about them here. And the way of life here is a little bit different. So when I kind of started saying to myself, I appreciate this for Costa Rica and I appreciate these things in the United States and wherever I'm traveling in the US is when I said, okay, you know, I get it. Like, I mean, I'm sure Christina, you have the same thing as, you know, from you splitting time and you traveling and you being in Colorado, you kind of start to sort out like the things you like and the things you don't like. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to continue going towards the things I like.
Yeah. What I've found though, is like, I end up spending more time in one place than the other. So mm-hmm. like lately that's been Colorado. I just like it better here. I mean, Atlanta was kind of the default after school and yeah. Colorado's something I actively, like proactively and very intentionally chose and sought out. So it's interesting. And, you know, just being a lawyer, I need to be in both places until I get my license out here in Colorado. But yeah, it's kind of stressful in a way. Like a lot of, like some people are like, wow, that's such a cool life that you get to live wherever mm-hmm. you want or like travel or whatever. But then it's kind of stressful because like my clothes are literally in three different places. They're in my house yes. in Atlanta. They're in a storage unit in Atlanta and they're here in Colorado. And actually now mm-hmm. my videographer has like some of my furniture because we were using it as a set. So it's like I have furniture and clothes in four different places and it's so hard to keep track of, which, you know, hashtag problems, right? Not really. But yeah, so I think it does come with its own unique set of challenges and mm-hmm. stressors, but you learn how to deal with them. But yeah, like for me last year, if you guys don't know this, my partner Joe and I, we were traveling around, we outfitted the back of his Toyota Tundra with like a full-size bed and drawers underneath it. And so we were traveling all around the country and I was like, I can't do this. Like I need a home base. So mm-hmm. that's how we landed where we are in Colorado, up at 9,000 feet. So anyway, to get back to your story, Kristen, what is it about the travel or like what is it about the dual like coastal or country lifestyle that you have found to be like are there any advantages when you're working with clients? Is it something that is just like a happenstance or is it like actually helping your business to be able to shoot in the US and Costa Rica?
Well, I'm able to have a much wider client base. So when I go back to the U.S., I'm in Savannah, usually, and that's where my parents live. So they have a really, they live in a golf and tennis community. So, you know, they have a built-in set of, you know, families and couples and, you know, it's a retiree / young family community. And also, I guess, you know, bi-coastal, and it's different here too, because I'm in a tourist town where, you know, within Tamarindo, my clients are from all over the world and all over the United States. So the other advantageous thing is that I'm about to go back to the U.S. for about 2 months, and I'm headed out to Seattle and Portland in the Pacific Northwest. And I have several clients out there that, you know, I'm chatting with and saying, hey, I'm coming, you know, to your area, whether, you know, you want family photos where you live, you know, not Costa Rica, but where you live, I'm more than happy to shoot. Or if you know of any of your friends or family members that want photos, you know, that's great. I'm available to shoot. And then I want to say, besides like photography, you know, actual shooting and client wise, the good thing that I really like about splitting time is that Costa Rica and running a business in Costa Rica is way different than running a business in the United States. And by being able to go back and forth from the U.S. and connecting with other business owners in the U.S. is that I can, you know, I continue to learn and grow from what they're doing. Whether it's, you know, when I'm here in Costa Rica, I'm on Instagram, I'm listening to podcasts, I'm, you know, listening to Creative Empire, online training, because, you know, the United States, and granted I'm American, so I'm tuned into a lot of, you know, the US based market, is that I'm able to pay attention and stay in tune with what's going on there to bring that and parlay that back to my business in the United States, because a majority of my clients are Americans or Canadians. So they're expecting kind of those service levels. Well, they're expecting it in the United States, but when they come back to when they come to Costa Rica, it's kind of this nice surprise to them. They're like, oh my goodness, we inquired, you know, we sent an inquiry through your website and you respond to me within 24 hours. And it's super easy to book with you because I use HoneyBook, you know, online client management software. So they're just pleasantly surprised. And like the level I run my business in Costa Rica is the level I would run it in the US. So that's, you know, that's a really awesome advantage that I have, that I'm able to really have like one foot in the US market and understand what's going on in the US and one foot in Costa Rica and understand how business runs in Costa Rica.
That's really cool. And I think that it takes that level of professionalism wherever you are in order to have a really great client experience, whether you're in Costa Rica or in Portland or in, you know, Washington. Exactly. Or wherever, Savannah, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think it just makes it so much simpler for you because you already have this established system and you know that your clients are going to get taken care of really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just logistically speaking, is it two businesses, one in Costa Rica, one here, or is it just one?
It's one business.
Got it.
Thank you, Christina, LLC. And, and I'm an LLC based in Georgia. And that's just A, because I do spend enough time in the US where I can't be technically an expat. I think it's like 30 or 45 days that you're only allowed back in the US, which is fine with me. So yeah, I just have one business and it's based, you know, it's all registered and legally and all that nice jazz in the US.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things that people struggle with when they think of, you know, I have this dream, I want to live abroad, I want to do cool things, but ultimately it's really scary for me to figure out the logistical. And we talked to Cassandra Lay about this a couple months ago, and her episode, she's living in Madrid and she's doing some cool things over there, but she's definitely an expat.
Yeah.
And so I think that what's interesting to me is that most people will think of, oh, I want to live in a different country, or I want to live overseas, or I want to do something different than the status quo that I've kind of been brought up to believe that is possible for me, and kind of stop there instead of saying, you know, here's what's possible. Let me try to figure out a way to do it. And I love that you've gone out and said, this is important to me. I want to live this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And it creates more freedoms for me than creates like these barriers, if that makes sense. So
for sure.
Can you tell us any of, like, I'm sure there were some challenges in that process. Like, are there things that you wish you had known in the moves or the transitions of creating this reality for yourself?
Yeah, I think at first, I mean, it took me kind of a year and a half to kind of realize that there was this, I mean, granted, online education and podcasting and online courses, all that has just exploded in the past couple of years. But I wish I had realized that earlier. And I wish I had realized that when I first came to Costa Rica, but I didn't know what I wanted to do back then. I was like, you know, I had a little bit of soul searching time, but I'd wish I had realized it a little bit sooner. I'm glad I, you know, fell into it and I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like there's so much resources out there for me, even though I am in Costa Rica, whether that's, you know, podcasts or I was, you know, I learned so much about photography through a creative life course that Jasmine Starr was doing, gosh, you know, 3 years ago. So I wish I kind of realized that information was out there, but I was kind of, I had my Costa Rica blinders on, you know, I didn't realize what was going on in the American marketplace because that's not what I was involved in. I mean, it could be the same thing for somebody in the US that just, you know, fell into or was exploring the creative entrepreneur, you know, outlet. So I wish I had realized that sooner, for sure.
Yeah, I think you're right that the online sort of information space has definitely changed in the past several years and things have become more abundant. There's been more resources available to us as we're growing our businesses. But I think it's really interesting that you say that, and you have probably like taken different turns in your business, tried different things in your business, and have finally gotten to this like very sweet spot for yourself of, you know, photographing, like you said, chasing the sunsets and knowing that that's your secret sauce and that's what makes you really unique. And on top of that, now you get to travel all around and do photography for different people who admire the kind of work that you're doing. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things that, yes, I wish I had done all these other things, but at the same time,
it's like, I had to go through that. My personality is like, if you tell me like, you know, I just the day, you know, I want to be a photographer, like I want to be like this booked out, you know, booked out, but like I want to have clients, I want to do all this, I want to be like this photographer, and it's like saying you can't compare someone's, you know, middle or like, you know, where they are to your beginning. Like I had to go through, you know, figuring it, you know, learning, you know, like how I like to shoot, how I like to interact with clients, how I like to edit. I had to go through that to get to where I am now. Because, you know, now me going to, you know, working with clients is I can walk out to the beach with them. And like, granted, it's, you know, it depends on each client and how, you know, what they're feeling and how they interact with each other. But, you know, it's, to me, it's not work. It's just me spending a fun afternoon on the beach with them. And that's really work for me, and my work is where the magic happens. But yeah, you have to, you know, you have to put in all those, you know, I was a college athlete. I played basketball. So I always, you know, really parlay back to that. Like you have to put in those reps before you can really, you know, go into game time and, you know, our championship game, getting all crazy over here. But yeah, you have to put in the hard work.
Yeah. And something that's really interesting to me as you're saying this, and this is not something that you've said, but I think it's really interesting though when people copy other people's work. Like I think what somebody could see your work right now and say, I'm going to try to copy that because clearly it's working for Kristen, right? And like, I'm going to take pictures of sunsets. And obviously there's people who do that. But I think the people who copy you or copy anybody is going to miss out on all the learning that you've done and also miss out on like how to cultivate their own community, how to cultivate their like clients and have this specific, you know, experience that is yours and yours alone. And you can't copy that stuff just by looking at somebody's photography or whatever. And so, you know, it might be fun to do that and like maybe get more Instagram followers or whatever. But truly, I think the work that you've done to get to this sweet spot where you are right now is where the magic happens. It's like, it feels slow and painstaking. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Oh yeah. You know, I look back and I can't believe it's, you know, been 3 years, but, you know, with each client and each, you know, every couple of months, you know, I feel like I'm not reinventing myself, but there's, you know, another iteration and I'm learning something and I'm learning, you know, it makes, you know, that relationship between you and your client that much easier and seamless because you understand who you are as an artist or as a business owner. And they, you know, on their end, it makes it super easy and comfortable for them. You know, when it's just, who was I listening? I was listening to, gosh, I listen to podcasts all the time, and especially when I'm editing. But I think maybe Jenna Kutcher's podcast saying, you know, when you can make something look easy from the outside, but it really isn't, that's when you know you're doing it well.
That's true, right? Like, that's hard to.
This reminds me. Sorry, guys. I love horses. I ride horses. This reminds me of like horses in the Olympics because everyone's like they're just sitting there, and I'm like, do you know how hard? Like, if you looked at their Fitbit, their heart rate is like crazy high right now.
It's like surfing too, like you know, people, you look at surfing and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, when you're good at something, it really does look effortless. And, but I mean, also like you, there has to be a passion there too, right? Otherwise that, that like grimace is still going to be on your face and that, that resentment is still going to be in your heart as you're going through these activities. So yeah, I mean, that's definitely a sweet spot there. What else comes easy to you? Like what about your job is something that, like, what are your superhuman powers? I've been really obsessed with this lately because my Shopify coach, he's like, he's like, what assets do you have? And I'm like, I don't know. And he asked me to create a list of like courses that I've created. And I was like, well, I did this one. I did that one. I did this. Oh, we did this. And he's like, holy cow. Like you have a lot of courses you've created. I'm like, I don't know. It's only like seven. And he's like, that's a lot, you know, like that's your superpower. So like, for those of you listening out there, start to think about that. Like, what are you taking for granted? And Kristen, I would love to know, like, what do you maybe sometimes unconsciously find yourself taking for granted, but then like rationally, intentionally, you can look at it and say, oh, wow, I actually am really good at that other than surfing.
Well, I'm an average surfer in the grand scheme of things. I wish I were much better. Thank you, mom and dad, for not letting me, you know, not taking us to Hawaii when we were younger so I could learn surfing as a child and not in my mid-20s.
Oh, girl, but I hear you.
Besides that, you know, it's something. So for me, I would say my superpower, so people are like, Kristen, seriously, like I can take a sunset photo and it ain't going to look anything like your sunset photo. I think it's definitely my eye and the way I view things and the way I capture things, whether it's, you know, a sunset, you know, landscape photography, you know, I love palm trees, you know, photographing like palm trees on the beach with a hammock. Just there's this, like I'm a romantic at heart, like the way I see the world, and I'm a very happy-go-lucky person. I'm always, always laughing, Christina, you know this, but just the way I see things and the way I capture things, and that parlays into my client photography work. I also sell my sunset and beach photographs online in my online shop, The Sunset Shop, and, you know, any of my clients that, you know, purchase prints from me and they, you know, hang them in their home, they're just like, this is such a little slice of paradise for us, you know, or a magical sunset or a beach photograph. It just, it's happiness. Like I capture happiness. So that's my superpower.
You definitely do. I remember we were in Gulf Shores, Alabama together and you went down to a dock to photograph a sunset. And it was really funny because like right before like the quote unquote best time of a sunset, you guys all know what I'm talking about. Kristen turns around and she starts photographing in the other direction. And she goes, a lot of people miss this, but this is like, you'll actually get the better sky when you turn around and face away from the sunset. And I was just like, I feel like this is so profound. Like I feel like I'm with Aristotle right now. Like there's some kind of, but I mean, you had a great point, which is like, just look at things from a different perspective and what you're looking for could be there. You know, it doesn't have to be like, you don't have to keep searching for that perfect sunset and like go for it the same way that everybody else has or is. It could be enough for you to just turn around and like look at it from a different vantage point.
Exactly. Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, it's the same thing, you know, whether photographing our sunset or just finally letting myself pursue photography as a career. I mean, I did black and white photography courses in middle school and high school, and I'd always loved it. And growing up, my parents had Nikon film cameras, and I'd always loved, would sit down as a family, dating myself, well, dating them too, but we'd watch like slideshows from their travels. My mom worked for Pan Am. She's a Pan Am stewardess, so she traveled the world in her 20s. And I just was mesmerized by photographs. And then I was so in high school, just so focused on academics and basketball. You know, those were the two things that, you know, as most, you know, high schoolers, not maybe athletically wise, but, you know, you have to academically excel, get into college, do this, graduate, get a good job. And, you know, going to college, I was playing basketball in college and, you know, you know, doing well academically there. And photography to me was always there, but no one had ever said to me, you know, you can be a photographer. Now more, it's much more, there's a lot more out there today, and photographers, you know, people like Jasmine Starr, you know, these are, and Jenna Kutcher, these amazing photographers that they're making a business doing it, versus before it's like, well, you can be a photographer, but you're not really going to make a living. So to me, that wasn't an option. And to finally say to myself, you know, photography has always been there. I just never let it, you know, come to the surface and accept that. So, you know, it was right in front of my face the whole time.
That is so interesting. So how do you think this has like affected you? Like, how are you applying this now in your business? Or do you still see yourself doing that? Or is it like, what are you doing to help manifest this every day?
I think, well, hands down, just being out in Mother Nature and surfing and being in the ocean and watching sunsets, like those times, especially number one, like not having my phone, being completely disconnected and doing a lot of just thinking and soul searching in those times, like that hands down. You know, those are the times where, you know, I'm brainstorming, I'm thinking, you know, being present and in the moment, but also these other, you know, where I want to go in business, or like reflecting on what's gone on in the day. So for sure has, you know, and I've even had like sitting on my surfboard, like, duh, like those duh moments, like, why aren't you doing this? Like, why aren't you? It's like right in front of your face, like talk to this person about this business opportunity or about these clients. So today it's for sure just, I put myself in a place where for me, I can think and perform best, which is being outside in Mother Nature. That's a little bit weird.
No, I love it.
What I was going to say is that like a lot of people won't even give themselves permission to like yes. see that success is even possible in this space, mm-hmm. that they don't have to, like, I'm the same way that sometimes I get caught in the hustle of yes. like wanting to work behind my computer and it has to be inside my office or I won't mm-hmm. be productive and then I won't make money. Like all of these like sort of negative things that yeah. kind of spiral me into being a workaholic, and I'm like, I have to break out of that. Sometimes it's just, you know, doing that. What did you call it? Like daydreaming work? That's yeah. still work. Yeah. And instead of sitting in my office, I can do it outside. I can go for a walk and brainstorm. I can, you know, sit by the pool and hang out and do that same work. And yeah. I think often for me, it's like I have to reframe what I'm doing as yeah. actual work, whether it's rest, whether it's play, whether it's like the reflection stuff.
Mm-hmm. So this in the past couple of years, full like hands down have learned this. I like to say it's not just how much revenue you're bringing in, you know, how much money you're making, which is such an American outlook on life. It to me is what's my happiness bank, you know, what's my revenue bank, and also like where's my like my spiritual bank. I also have like my sunset and wave banks, but you know, those are all not going to be overflowing and full at all times. But, you know, they're going to ebb and flow. And I've also had to, you know, especially my parents, I've had to explain that to them. I'm like, hey, you know, I may not be making what I was making in corporate finance, but, you know, my happiness bank is over here, is, you know, is pretty high, and I'm pretty stoked on life. And maybe I'll surfer on you, poor parents. But they have, and just with me becoming, you know, growing as a photographer and having more clients and more work, they've come to learn and understand that, or learning to understand that, because they're from a different generation. I think that's what I kind of, you know, say, okay, you don't really understand that more because you grew up differently. But you know, as I say, like the only thing guaranteed in life is that you're born. Like, you know, I can, you know, you can get sick, you can, you know, get hit by a car, any of these like horrible things can happen. But if you're living your life to the fullest each day and being, you know, a kind and genuine and happy person, you know, you're doing pretty awesome in life.
It illustrates an interesting point, which is like this crossroads of where we are at personally versus maybe where some mm-hmm. of the people that love and have good intentions for us want us to be at. And it's, I'm glad Raina brought that up, because I was going to ask you, like, have you ever had people in your life that have doubted you, you know, when you're like, I shoot sunsets for a living, and I make a living by selling photography and sunset prints. Like, have you ever had anybody look at you sideways and be like, what, that's not a real thing?
Yeah. And especially when I, you know, was first starting out, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you know, especially my family was kind of like, you know, Kristen, when are you going to actually go do your MBA, which is what that was my plan B. By coming to Costa Rica, I'd already taken my GMATs to go to apply and go back to grad school for my MBA. So kind of at that point juncture was like, okay, she'll get out of her system. But my family and friends already know this. I'm a very dedicated and persistent person. So once I found something that I had loved and they, you know, I'm the type of person too, that I'll just put my blinders on and I'm like, whatever you keep saying, you know, you naysayers over there, I love you, but you know, be quiet. I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing. I mean, granted, being in another country kind of helped because I didn't hear that chatter in my everyday life, but yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, as I just said, it's about putting those blinders on, like putting your head down and just saying, I know this is right. And yeah, it's hard, just hard, like, learning, you know, learning processes, you know, it's learning something new is never easy, maybe easier for others or more natural for others than, and then there's also like the outside chatter. But I think that's also something, you know, personally for me, at least my 20s versus I'm 32 now, like my 20s versus my 30s. Now I'm just like, you know what? I don't really care. Like, parlaying it to like multiple aspects of my life, not just like business wise, it's like, I'm going to do what's best for me, as long as it's not like hurting and affecting other people and like, you know, I mean, hurt their feelings, but you know, this is what's best for me. And I know, like, genuinely, like, I have to do this. So I think it's just learning to be, you know, a confident and strong female and accepting that.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. And I mean, whenever these like sort of outside forces are coming in to, you know, share their opinions, I think we have to determine where they're coming from. Obviously, mm-hmm. if it's our parents or people who are really close to us, that might be one thing. So one of my friends says something really interesting. If I wouldn't want to trade my life with them, then I'm not going to, you know, consider their opinion, because mm-hmm. that's not important to me. And then the other thing that I thought was interesting, just in general, is that like people from the cheap seats, people who are not in the stadium, right? Like the very Brené Brown sort of mentality, is that if you're not in the game with me, then it doesn't even matter. If you're not putting your life or your, you know, whatever you're doing in your life and doing bigger, better, cooler things that stretch your comfort zone, then your opinion doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah.
So I think that it's just a lot of different things. I've had haters in my life and people who haven't supported me in the things that I've done. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to like break out of that opinion. And we have this negativity bias that everyone else might be thinking or saying to you, that's so cool, I'm so excited for you. And then there's this one opinion that's, you know, that keeps sounding in your head. And that's the one you always come back to. It's the same way when you like sell a course or sell a product. And then there's that one person who's mean to you. That's the one that you hear over and over again. And so I think it's just interesting to me as you're saying all of this stuff, it's like, we have to assess whether or not that opinion is actually important to us and is a valid source of input. Yeah. So I think it's just a reminder.
Yeah. And you may not also know what's going on in their lives and where they're coming from. You know, that's also something, you know, just of getting older and hopefully growing wiser that I've learned is that.
Yeah. And
know,
I think it just depends on who it's coming from. Like,
for sure. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. So I was just thinking, like, you know, if it's somebody that's truly important to you, you'll probably be able to slow down and like try to ask more questions or try to understand, not fly off the handle. But if it's somebody who's not really important to you, or you post it on Facebook and they ask a weird question or whatever, it's like you don't actually really matter. The other day, this is kind of a side note, but we had just posted about something kind of random about my birth announcement from like a couple years ago. And somebody was just like, oh, when's the next one coming? And I was just like, I don't even care about you. Why are you posting about stuff like this? And it's just another reminder that we don't need to share everything with the people that don't matter to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So kind of a random side note, but I think it's just really interesting. So, okay. As we're thinking about what's next for your creative empire, I know you're traveling a lot. You're doing a lot of your prints in your shop. Tell us a little bit about what you see for your future creative empire.
Yeah. Well, continuing to live life to the fullest for sure. I love photographing in Costa Rica and I love photographing in Savannah, but I also love photographing wherever my travels take me, wherever my clients want to take me. So besides photographing for families and wedding clients, I'm starting to work with companies doing brand photography work and doing editorial work. So, you know, I would just love to pretty much be able to, as I say, have camera will travel, photograph around the world, chasing sunsets around the world for sure. That's pretty awesome. And to continue to, for me, like my, besides, you know, actually photographing for clients, you know, in a shoot, there's also not, like, it makes me so happy when clients, you know, they order a print from me. I work with them to get a custom print in their home. And then they message me and I say, oh my gosh, it's perfect. Like it brings me back to like this moment, or it makes me, you know, remind me of like the beach and sunshine. So it's pretty much, I mean, if anyone knows who Graham Allen is, he's a phenomenal aerial photographer, but to be able to kind of be at that level and have my beach and sunset prints in homes across the world. So that's kind of, you know, to me, to be able to bring, you know, my little slice of tropical Pura Vida diced, you know, outside of Costa Rica and around the world.
I love it. If you ever come to the Bay Area, then let me know. I would love to shoot with you.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So where can people find you? I know you have a special link for us as well.
Yeah. So I'm all things Samba to the Sea. And then I'll there's a link, sambatothesea.com/creativeempire, where they can go. And there's a little special surprise gift for them that if anyone wants a free 5x7 print, I like to call my Wonderlust prints. All they need to do is pay $5 shipping and anyone can get one. So yeah, so Samba to the Sea, everything Samba to the Sea.
Super generous. Thank you so much. All right. So thank you so much, Kristen, for being here, for sharing your story and kind of going with us about, you know, all the Wanderlust things and all the sunset things. So everyone who's listening out there, go find your special niche and go do that thing that really lights you up. Everyone go build your creative empire.
Are you ready to build your own empire? For more information, show notes, downloads, and tips on how to do it, head to www.creativeempire.co, where you can find out more about this week's episode and the two lovely ladies behind it all, encouraging you to build your own creative empire. If you enjoyed this week's show, it would mean so much to Raina and Christina if you could take 2 minutes to go to iTunes and leave a review. It's a little thing that makes a big difference for the show.